So we left off last week, we were discussing the question of causing a Kohen Katan to become Tamei. Gemara learns out from Sukkim that one is not permitted to actively cause a child, even under the age of a mitzvah, who's a Kohen to become Tamei. If it happens on his own, he's the Tamei himself, that's a different question. That may be an issue of chinuch, that may apply to the parent, maybe not to a stranger, that's a different question. But to actively be Tamei to a Kohen Katan is for sure also the Chol HaDeos. So it's based on this that we quoted that the Shach quotes the Sefer Rekeach, who raises the question whether a woman who is married to a Kohen, if she's pregnant, is she permitted to go into the Olam Hazeh? Can she go to the cemetery? Can she go to a funeral? So the Sefer Rekeach says it should be asur, because when she goes into the Olam Hazeh, she's in effect being Tamei the baby. So he's maybe a Kohen. So the Rekeach says, no, it's okay. It's okay based on a sfeik sfeika. But there's a 50-50 chance, maybe it's a boy, maybe it's a girl. And even if it's a boy, maybe it's not a viable child. And that's enough to tip the scales in favor that it's a sfeik that's going to be mutter. So at the very end of the shiur, we pointed out that according to the Sefer Rekeach, who says that the only reason why it's mutter is based on the sfeik, this would be highly questionable whether the sfeik would apply to Bizmanazah. Because Bizmanazah, we know what the facts are. The person gets a sonogram, so a 99% chance the sonogram is telling you the truth. And we know pretty much for sure that the baby may be a Kohen, and maybe a boy may be a Kohen. So if so, the whole sfeik of the Rekeach would fall by the wayside. So the question is, do we really follow this Rekeach? Was the question really such an agreed upon question? So the Magen Avraham has a lot of problems with this Sefer Rekeach. Magen Avraham quotes this Rekeach, and he asks the question, as he doesn't understand why the Sefer Rekeach, why this Rishon needed a sfeik in the first place. Says the Magen Avraham, should be mutter based on totally different grounds. Says the Magen Avraham, even if you know Baruch HaKadosh that it's a boy, you know with a sonogram that it's a boy, it's still mutter, because the Gemara says in Chul, in the fourth parak, that Tahara Balua cannot become Tamei. If you have something that's totally enclosed and something else that's literally swallowed up in another creature, a person or an animal, so then the whole dinim of Tumah don't apply to it. The example that the Gemara gives is, let's say you have a dog swallows a ring. So a ring is a kli matech, is a metal kli, it can potentially become Tamei. So the Gemara tells a Mishnah, the Gemara in the fourth part of Chulin speaking about, if you have a dog swallows a ring, and the dog walks into an Olam Hazeh, and then it comes out of the Olam Hazeh, and then the ring throws up the ring, it comes out the other end. The ring now is out of the body of the dog. So the Gemara says, the ring is still Tahor. The ring didn't become Tamei. Why didn't it become Tamei? It was in an Olam Hazeh. The Gemara says, whatever's Balua inside the animal doesn't count. The Gemara derives this from Sukkim. So comes the Magen Avraham and asks, when the baby is Balua inside the mother, so then it's not subject to two Bichlals. What shach to speak about the being in Issa, being Matamei yet? The Sefer Rekeach is working with the assumption that it's also to be Matamei the Kohen inside the mother. And he's trying to find the reason why we can sneak out of this. Why it's a sfeik. He says, the Magen Avraham had a better teretz. The better teretz is it was never also in the first place. It's like the Beis Halevi says that sometimes you ask a kasha and you acknowledge the existence of the kasha and you give a teretz. Sometimes you ask a kasha and the kasha is a bad kasha. So the teretz shows not that the kasha was a good kasha, the teretz is a good teretz. The teretz shows that the kasha wasn't the kasha in the first place. That's what the Magen Avraham says. He doesn't know why the Sefer Rekeach was dealing with the problem in the first place. There was no issue because it's Tara Blue, and Tara Blue is not subject to Tumah. So the nafkamina between the way the Sefer Rekeach and the Shach present the Kula based on Sfeik Sfeika, and the Magen Avraham presents the Kula based on Tara Blue, is going to make all the difference in the world for us. Because with Zman Hazeh, the Sfeik Sfeika doesn't apply because we have sonograms, but the Tara Blue far still applies. The Tara Blue is still inside with Zman Hazeh. So who's right? Is the Rekeach and the Shach, right? That somehow Tara Blua doesn't play a role for some deep dark secret we don't know why yet, and you have to come on to a Sfeik Sfeika. The Sfeik Sfeika falls short today. Or do we say, no, the Magen Avraham Stein is correct, that once you have Tara Blua, then everything is mutter. So there were different opinions in the later Pelskim why the Rekeach veered away from Tara Blua. What was wrong with the Magen Avraham? What was lacking, what was missing in the Magen Avraham's objection that Tara Blua should solve the world's problems? So the Radvaz, right, that he thinks that the Sefer Rekeach was talking about a very, very unique case, that he thinks everyone misunderstood the Sefer Rekeach. The Radvaz argues that the Sefer Rekeach wasn't addressing whether a pregnant Eishes Kohen is allowed to go to an Olam Hazeh in a fifth month. So of course it's mutter, says the Radvaz. It's tire blue, it's the Shaila. In a fifth month it's mutter, 6 months it's mutter. Of course it's mutter. What was the Sefer Rekeach worried about? He was worried about the very end of the pregnancy. He was afraid she's going to go into the Olam Hayis, she's going to go into labor, she's going to give birth right then and there. So that'll be a real problem. It means the baby may come out. So the question is, can we permit her to go into an Olam Hayis, knowing full well that she may go into labor right then and there? So comes the Sefer Kech and addresses that question. That's what the Radbaz is claiming. So that's what the Rekech said. That, don't worry about it. Because even if she was going to go into labor, no, she still has a Sfeik Sfeika. Because maybe she'll have a boy, maybe she'll have a girl. And even though she'll give birth to a, it'll be physically a boy, the halachli, it won't count because it's going to be a nafel. There's an outside chance it won't be a viable pregnancy, so it won't count as a baby anyway. But for her to go to the Olam Hayis earlier in the pregnancy, that's for sure okay.
She's going to give birth. What's the Sfeik Sfeika?
But
so you know.
No, but the question is, can she do it? Can she go through all the mace right now? You're right. If and when she gives birth and it turns out it's a boy, then she better get ready to bring the baby out, right?
She's not going to give birth and it's still blue.
What?
Either way, she's going to be. If she doesn't give birth, then it's
No, but if she gives birth, then it'll turn out now she brought a baby into an Olam Hayis. So she's coming and asking the Shaila, Rabbi, am I allowed to go into an Olam Hayis, which is potentially going to be bringing my baby that's on the way out? I'm in labor right now. Can I go into the Olam Hayis? So that's what the Sefer Kech was Matthew. If that's the pshat of the Sefer Kech, then the whole Shaila is really a moot Shaila of his mind, is that? Basically, Tara Blua carries the day. That's the Magen Avraham Svara. Even the Rekech agrees to that. The Rekech was only concerned unless she goes into labor. So I would say, even if she's in the ninth month, even if she's in the end of the ninth month, depends where she wants to go to. So if she wants to go to the cemetery for 2 seconds, she's not going to go to labor. She's going to labor in the cemetery. She's going to be out. She's not having the baby in the cemetery. So she's going for 2 seconds. She'll go in, she'll go out. Some of the Rekech was talking about she's going to go into an Olam Hayis and stay there for a long time. Let's say there's a dead body in the house that's going to stay there for a few hours. So that she wants to know. She's having contractions. Can she go into the Olam Hayis and stay there unless she has a baby? That's what the Sefer Rekech was concerned. That was what he was poopling about. Even that he was matir based on the Sfeik Sfeika. But the shadows that come up is manazeh. Can she go to the hospital? Can she go to the, not for herself, can she go visit someone in the hospital? Can she go to the Olam Hayis? Can she go to the Levaya? All those shalas are moot shalas. Of course, those are mutter, because they're all mutter based on Tara Blua.
Okay, so even beyond that, though, if you're not accepting that entirely, nowadays you have to say that somebody, a woman in that position, should go get a sonogram to find out before.
Okay, very good. Excellent. So, let's see if we can work out all the details of the Sefer Kech before we can get back to the modern day eventual shalas. So again, so according to the Radvaz's version, he took all the oomph out of the Sefer Kech. It basically means nothing. The Sfeik is only limited when you're dealing with the end of the ninth month. She's in labor, then what do I do? But for the rest, the first 8.5 months of pregnancy, so everything's mutter. It's mutter based on Tara Blua. The Magen Avraham basically carries the day. But others disagreed with this Radvaz. Others had a different way of understanding the Rekech and the Shach. And there was a real reason why Tara Blua doesn't play out here. So the Avnei Meluim, by the Ktsos. So the Avnei Meluim, besides writing the Ktsos, he also wrote Tshuvas Avnei Meluim. These are not Tshuvas in the classic sense of the word, that somebody actually called up Rabbi, here's the following shot, hey, these Lomdash, Mahalchem, you know, on quote unquote Shailas, that in theory, I don't think ever happened. So in the middle of this, one of his Tshuvas, so the Avnei Meluim, discusses this Sefer Rekech, and he goes back to discuss the issue of Tara Blua a little bit more in detail. So the Avnei Meluim, the idea of Tara Balua, if you go back to the Gemara Chul in the fourth paragraph, the model, the example of Tara Balua was the dog that swallowed the ring. The dog that's swallowing the ring is not the same as the baby inside the mother. What's the difference? A big difference. As the Avnei Meluim, in the case of the ring, so it's not natural. That's not where this ring belongs. The ring was not supposed to be swallowed by a dog. In the case of the baby, that's exactly where the baby belongs. The baby stafka is supposed to be here. It's growing here. We want it to be here. We hope it's here until the end of the ninth month. It's a very, very different type of a picture. Why does it make a difference? So it references a din in an area that's not quite identical, but similar. There's a din of chatzitzas. There's a din in Hilchos Tahara. A person wants to go to the mikvah. So the halach is, you have to wash your body in the water of the man mikvah. And the man mikvah has to touch your entire body. You can't have a davra chaitzetz. So how much is the davra chaitzetz? Okay, that's a question. The basic principle of chatzitzas is such that you can't have something which is artificial, some kind of a barrier that doesn't belong, to separate between you and the water. The Gemara raises the question in Maseches Yevamos, what if the separation is a natural separation? What if it's a separation of something that, it's not a barrier, it's something that's dafka supposed to be there, it's growing that way, it's natural that way, that's what's supposed to be there, so that doesn't constitute a chatzitza. The context of the Gemara is a famous sugi we spoke about many times. The Gemara talks about if you have a non-Jewish woman who wants to convert, she happens to be pregnant, So the Gemara says, no problem, she goes to the mikvah, and now does she convert? The baby converts as well. So the Gemara says that everybody agrees to that. Once the non-Jewish pregnant woman goes into the mikvah, so the baby need not convert. The only machlekes in the Gemara is, why is that so? What's the lambda? So the Gemara quotes the machlekes. So one of the Amoraim says it's based on the principle called uber yerech imo, that an uber fetus is considered to be like a limb of the mother. So just as when the mother converts, her arms converts, her legs convert, her head converts, her stomach converts, a baby inside converts also. Uber yerech imo, that's one way of understanding. And the other way of understanding is the uber lav yerech imo. The fetus is a separate entity. It's not really halachically part of the mother. It's growing there, but it's not halachically the same. And therefore, it's not covered by the mother's gerus. It needs its independent. It needs its own gerus. What is its own gerus? So the Gemara explains that, well, the baby went under the water. If you look at it, so the water level's over here. The mother's under the water. So the baby went under the water. So the Gemara says, wow, the baby went under the water as an independent gerus. What happened to chatzitzas? If you would hold that uber yerech imo, you don't ask a kash chatzitz. Let's say no one would ask such a silly question. How could the heart of the mother convert if the woman is a chatzitza? So let's be honest. That means the heart is part of the woman's body. So the din of chatzitza is that you can't have chatzitza on the outer part of the person's body. So once the whole person converts, as one entity, as one unit, then you don't ask such a silly question. There's a chatzitza on the internal organs. But once you tell me that uber lav yerech imo, so it's not considered to be an internal organ of the mother, it's a separate, distinct entity, so it's relying on its own tevila. So then we have a kasha. So surrounding the baby's body is the mother's body. Isn't that a chatzitza? So the Gemara says, no, maybe that's not a chatzitza, because it's what's called rubo she'enam makbid. The Gemara says we have a halacha Moshe Mesinai, that something is only called a chatzitza if it's rov and makbid. It's something that takes up the majority of the person's body, and you also care about it. If both of those conditions aren't present, then at worst you have is a chatzitza derabbanan. I don't think I've ever gotten a chatzitza deraisa shaila from the mikvah. Every shaila that we have is, the woman forgot her contact lenses, she's got nail polish on, she's got a scab on, she's got stitches on, she's got a cat. Those are all chatzitzas derabbanan, because they never unrove the body. The only time you can have a chatzitza deraisa, I didn't say we shouldn't take them seriously, they're very seriously, but they're not deraisa. The only time you have a chatzitza deraisa is if you have both rove and machbet. That means the person just went mudsliding, and they don't want to bother taking a shower first, they want to come to the mikvah, they're head to toe in mud, and they're about to go home and take a shower to get the mud off, and they want to go to the mikvah first, so I haven't yet gotten that call, I'm not expecting that call, that would be a chatzitza deraisa. So the Gemara says over here, it's not a chatzitza deraisa, even though it's rove, because it's not machbet, the baby isn't upset about being inside the mother. The baby is very, very happy sitting and learning Torah with the malachim. It's not going anywhere so fast. So the baby, the woman's in the fifth month, so the baby very much wants to be covered by the mother's body. So that's a rosh in a machbid, so maybe that's okay. So the Gemara says, no, that doesn't work. Because when is there a halacha Moshe Mesinai that you need the second condition of machbid? That's only when it's rove. But when it's kulu ha-machbid, when it's the entire, from mamash from head to toe, even if you personally are not machbid, that's still considered to be a chatzitza. So these are all dinim deraisa. These are all halacha Moshe Mesinai. It's hard to ask any kashas on this. So the Gemara says when you have a baby that's totally from head to toe surrounded by the mother's body, that should be a chatzitza problem. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a chatzitza. It's not a chatzitza for a totally different reason. Because hani revisayu, because that's the normal way of growing. Chatzitza means when you have stitches on. Stitches don't belong on your body. You can put them on for now for a reason, but something artificial. Person, I forgot to take out the contact lenses. Again, I didn't say any of those are real chatzitzas. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But those are potential chatzitzas. The baby inside the mother's body is not a chatzitza. That's exactly what we want to happen. That's what's called haine revisayu. That's the natural, normal way of growing, and therefore it's not considered to be a chatzitza problem. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this halacha luchos tefillin, where he says that if a person puts a tefillin on the hair, so some people still have hair, so he says, why isn't hair considered to be a davar chatzitz? So Mishnah Berurah says, nah, that's not called a davar chatzitz, because that's normal, haine revisayu. Hair is supposed to be there. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. What if the hair is not supposed to be there? Where's the hair coming from? Guy's got this long, long hair, and he's pulling hair from this end of the head to the other end of the head. He's making a whole to-do with hair that doesn't really belong there. So Mishnah Berurah raises the question, maybe that's not called Hana River Sam anymore, and maybe that disqualifies the mitzvah tefillah. Maybe the hair is considered to be a chatzitza. Not everybody holds it's a problem with chatzitza by tefillah, but according to Wim Achmer, like those we show that there's a problem with chatzitza by tefillah, so the hair is in an unnatural state, so that's considered to be a problem. This is always a controversial issue in certain yeshivas, where sometimes the mashkiach of the yeshiva decides what's considered to be natural, what's considered to be not natural. So the mashkiach wants to get the kid to get a haircut, so I'll tell the bacha, quotes this Mishnah Berurah, says, up, you're not yet a tefillah, because the hair is unnatural. Who decides it's unnatural? And hold the yeshiva decides it. I'm not sure. I'm not saying to not not follow that, follow any given yeshiva, but I'm not sure that necessarily their standards are kriveya, what's called natural, what's called not natural. But whatever it is, but the bottom line is if it's... Yeah, for sure, chatzitza, yeah. As a machlekes, the Rosh and the Rashba, is there really a problem of chatzitza by tefillin shel Rosh? So the Rosh, good way to remember, the Rosh holds as a chatzitza by tefillin shel Rosh, and the Rashba says, there's no such chatzitza. Because the Torah says, doesn't use the magic word al, it just says, ben enecha. So it's ben enecha, top of my toupee, on top of my head. So that's what the Rashba says. And the Rosh says, no, the Rosh says, what are you talking about? Of course it has to be on your head. It's not on your head, you're not yet to the mitzvah. That's a big question. So we try the chetchila not to do that. We, the person who has toupee, tafa, should not put his tefillin on that. If he's embarrassed, not in the house, whatever it is. But he shouldn't really be yet to the mitzvah tefillin by putting on the toupee. Anyway, get back to the story. So the Gemara has this klal, luchas chatzitzas, that there's a difference whether something's supposed to be there or not supposed to be there. So the Avnei Miluim quotes this Gemara, which was talking about chatzitzas, and now plugs it into Tara Blua. Not the same thing. It's similar in the sense that there's a barrier, there's something blocking, but it's not quite the same. One is chatzitza vis-a-vis tefillah b'mikvah. One is balua vis-a-vis getting tamei. It's not at all the exact same halacha. Yet the Avnei Miluim borrows the principles, and he says that when do we say there's a principle of Tara Balua? That's when it's a Davra Balua, where it doesn't really belong. The ring that was swallowed by the dog is not supposed to be there. Nobody wants it there. We're trying to get the vet to get the ring out of the dog. So that's called a Tara Balua, when it's artificially there and it's not supposed to be there. But when it's growing, a baby is naturally inside the mother's body. It's supposed to be there. We encourage it to be there. We want it to be there until the baby's ready to come out. How can you call that, quote unquote, a balua? How can you say that's considered to be a break, not a barrier? It's dafka supposed to be there. So says the Avnei Miluim, it's that svar that causes us problems now. Because since the baby's supposed to be there, so it's not subject to the kul of tar balua, that's why the Sefer Kech needed this fake. That's what the Sefer Kech said. The only way to justify a Ashes Kohen going to a cemetery if she's pregnant is only because of a sfeik. If not for the sfeik, then the kula wouldn't be true. If not for a sfeik, a tara blua wouldn't do the trick. Therefore, according to that, it doesn't matter whether she's in a 3rd month, 6 month, 9th month, it doesn't matter. If she knows that she's having a boy, that's going to be a problem. If she doesn't know, so in the olden days, she couldn't find out, so then it's mutareni without sfeik. If it's not as that would raise a red flag. So that's a big machlokes between the Radvaz and the Avnei Miluim. Why the Sefer Kech veered away from tara blua? What was wrong with tara blua? So the Radvaz learns, there was nothing wrong with Tara Balua. It was a great kula. The Radvaz the Rakech wanted to be mat even at the end of the pregnancy, even in the 9th month when she's going into labor. According to the Avnei Miluim, no. The Rakech needed the sfeik even in the middle of the pregnancy because Tara Balua wouldn't apply.
If you hold puberty or female, can't you just say there's no problem that baby getting tummy anyway?
Because okay. We're going to get there in a second. We'll get down to those are more tangential reasons where maybe there's no problem in the first place. So again, let's still work with the Mahalach of the Rakech. The Kech and the Shach are assuming that you need the heter of Sveik, and we're not sure why. So according to the Radvaz, you need it only at the end of pregnancy. Before that, everything's okay. And according to the Avnei Miluim, you need it all along. So Rabbi Chaim Moizer, in his Tshuva Sachiyaza, has a whole other mahalach in the Sefer Kech. So Rabbi Chaim Moizer writes, this is something, a throwback that we spoke about a little bit earlier. Rabbi Chaim Moizer says that maybe the reason why Tara Balua doesn't apply here is because the Issa for a coin to become Tomei is not an Issa for a coin to become Tomei. I sound like just double talk. No, says Rav Chaim Moizer, the Isser is not to become Tameh. The Isser is a Kohen is not allowed to come into contact with a mace. That's the Isser. A Kohen is not supposed to come into contact with a mace. What constitutes coming into contact with a mace? So usually, if you touch a mace, that's called you contacted a mace. You move a mace, that's called contacting a mace. You come to receive all a mace, all those examples, all examples of coming into quote-unquote halachic contact with a mace. But what if you have a situation where you came into quote-unquote contact with the mace, there's some quirk that you happen to be tar. There's some quirk that the Hilchos Tuma didn't kick in. Says Rav Chaim Moizer, he's not so sure that the dinim of the Isra, it's hard to call Tumas Kohanim, but we're going to call that anyway, the Isra of quote-unquote Tumas Kohanim can apply, even though you didn't become Tami. It doesn't matter whether you halachna became Tami or not. If you're too close for comfort to a mace, that's considered to be coming into contact. That's Achonafshas Mace Liyof. That's called coming into contact with the mace. And even though there may be some din from left field, from the 4th Perek of Chulin, that may be mitar you, that would still pose a problem. That's a whole new look, not just at the sugya, it's a whole new look at the Yisra of Tumas Kohanim. The Moshe, there's a Minchas Chinuch, It's a fascinating shayla. Lamdash shayla, fascinating shayla conceptually about what exactly is the nature of the issur of tumas kohanim. Is tumas kohanim really tuma, or is tumas kohanim really an issur? What's the difference? At the end of the day, you can't do it. What's the difference? So there are klolim in halacha that govern. What do you do when you have sfeikis? The person has a sfeik. So what do you do in halacha? There are doubts in life. So if it wouldn't be for doubts, we wouldn't have klolim of rov and chazakas and sfeikis. It's built into life. There are times when you have doubtful situations. So what do you do when you have a doubt? So we all know the basic rules are sfeik deraisa l'chumra, sfeik sfeikis l'kula. Those are the basic klolim that govern sfeikis. But in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara, the rules are totally different. In the realm of Tumah V'Tahara, so then the halacha tells us that if the suffix plays out in a Rishus HaYochid, if it's in a private and close, private area, then all sveikas are l'chumra. If it's in a Rishus HaRabim, then all sveikas are l'kula. Where in the world did this come from? So this is what the Gemara says, learned that from Saita. Saita is almost Tumah V'Tahara. The Torah speaks about V'nitma, V'nitma, V'nitma. It's a din almost like Tumah V'Tahara. The Gemara says that Sauta is the latest asafik in Rishus HaYochid. It's only two people, it's only him and her. So that's the latest asafik in Rishus HaYochid. And the Torah says that when you have a woman who becomes a Nistra, Yaskina and Stira, and she goes into a room alone with somebody, and now comes out 10 minutes later, we have no idea whether she was Nitma or not. So the Torah says, Nitma, you have to be chayshish that she was Nitma. You have to be concerned lest she was Mizana with this person. So the Gemara says, why is that? It's only a suffix. So the Gemara says, you learn from here that suffix tumah is l'chumra, but the halacha of Ashmasina B'Pashas tells us it's only true when it's in Rishus HaYochid, Dubi Desaita. If it's in Rishus HaRabim, so then it's mutter. Then sveikas in Rishus HaRabim are mutter. So when we're dealing with a shayla, it was kashrus, it was Shabbos, somebody calls me with a shayla, it was kashrus, I don't ask them, well, where did it happen? Did it happen in the street or did it happen in the house? That's an irrelevant question. But if someone would call me with a shayla, chasum v'tara, I couldn't just answer mutarasa, tummy tar. I would have to ask them, where did it happen? Did it maybe become tummy in the street? Did it become tummy in the house? That plays a role. So the reason why no one ever asks you the shayla is because we don't ask shaylas and tummy v'tara anymore. Taisus in Maseches Bavakama quotes a shayla about a shayla nuchas nida considered to be a shayla of tumah v'tahara or not. So that's really a whole other discussion. So the Maseches Chinuch raises the question when it comes to Hilchas Tumas Kohanim. He has a shayla: is Hilchas Tumas Kohanim considered to be issa v'heter, or is it considered to be tumah v'tahara? So that's the same issue that Reb Chaim Moizer is raising. He says if it's Issa v'heter, so then it follows the rules of Sveika Dereis L'chumma, Sveika L'kula. But if it's Tumah V'Tahara, then it's a different world. Then it's L'gamri, a different world. Then the Shailas depend upon where is the latest Asafik. Is the Asafik in the Rishus HaYochid or Asafik in the Rishus HaRabim? So that's what Reb Chaim Moizer says here also, that he thinks that Tumas Kohanim, the focus is not really on Tumah. It's not that we really care that the Kohanim becomes Tameh. We use Tumah as a barometer to measure, is that called a kravel amaze or not? Is that called coming too close to the comfort to a maze? So we say, well, if you reach a point where you would probably have become Tumah, that means you came to the El amaze. But you can have a situation where, of course, the person is close to the maze. The maze is here, he's standing a foot away from the maze. It just happens to be that he's enclosed in a Tara Balua. So Reb Chaim says that's not going to help, because Tumas Kohanim is not really a function of Tumah. So some quirk in Uchas Tumah, some Gzeres HaKosav in the fourth break of Chulin of Uchas Tumah of Tara Balua is not going to save the day for you. So those are the three basic mahalchim in terms of the Sefer Rekeach. Why did the Sefer Rekeach have to bend over backwards to find the Sfeik Sfeika? What happened to Tara Balua? And that's important for us because the Sfeik Sfeik Sefer Rekeach is not going to fly up his mind, is that? Because we know what the facts are. We know it's a boy. So what's the dim? So a woman knows she's an Ashes Kohen Muberes. She knows for a fact she's in the sixth month. She just got a sonogram. She knows with absolute certainty, 99% certainty, she's carrying a boy. Can she go to a cemetery? Can she go to a funeral or not? So according to the Radvaz, she could go because it's not yet the ninth month. She's not having a baby yet. So Tara Balua carries the day. According to the Avnei Meluim and according to the Chaim Moizer, she probably cannot go. What if you have the following shayla is also a fairly common shayla. What if you have an Ashes Kohen who doesn't know yet what she's carrying? She's in her third, fourth month, early pregnancy. She hasn't gotten a sonogram yet. So now what do? So can you, no pun intended, can you have tchis amaze, can you come back to life and bring the sfeik sfeik of the Sefer Kech back, which would be matzav l'choladeyas? Because again, even the Magen Avraham, those who didn't want to rely on Tara Balua, so maybe it could still be mutter, because maybe you have the original Sfeik Sfeika, because right now Shetaka doesn't know what she's having, so maybe we have a right to say Sfeik Sfeika. So that's a question. So the Shach and Klali Sfeik Sfeika has a whole discussion. If you have a Shaila that should have been mutter based on a Sfeik Sfeika, but it's Efshel Levara. You can be Mavara. You can find out what the facts are, so maybe you're Mechut to Mavara. So the Shach writes that If it's Efshel Mevar Bekal, if it's easy to be Mevar, then you have to be Mevar. If it's not so easy, then you're not Mechuv to be Mevar.
What's the one end with Kol of if the behemoth is a traitor or a shekel, so it's a fake, or as far as rogue, we know that they are not.
So that's a...
But then, Paul, if you can check every... It's check out very simple. You know,
That's awesome. I want to buy my cup of milk. I want to buy my container of milk. So for me to check now is not so easy. There are a lot of other factors involved in that. Whether that is a rope, not a rope, but each one is a separate challenge. It's a combined challenge. It gets complicated. But in terms of a regular klal spek speka, so the shach raises the question whether you're mechuv to be mevarer. So the pashas in the gemara is that you're mechuv to be mevarer, because the gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, gemara is the following shaila. Gemara says a guy just rented a house from somebody on the morning of Erev Pesach, and he's trying to figure out whether the house had bedikas chometz. He has no idea, so he's trying to figure out. So the Gemara says, Shaila, well, maybe he can rely on the Rov. Maybe Rov people check the house when they're supposed to. So the stomach of the maskir, the owner of the house, probably checked the chometz last night like he was supposed to. So maybe I can rely on that Rov. So the Gemara says, is that a good Rov? Not a good Rov. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Why should you rely on the Rov? L'shaila, ask the guy. What are you sitting, pippling around in Erev Pesach? After he did it, after he pick up a phone and call the guy and ask him. So the Gemara says, "Can the Leisa come on?" The Gemara says, "The mosque is not here anymore. He left town." So you see from here that even the days of Chazal, people went on trips. So he left. He left in Erev Pesach. He's on his cruise already. You can't track him. He's not picking up his. He's not getting his emails. So you can't track him down. So the Gemara says, "All right, if you can't track him down, then maybe you can rely on the Rov." So the Rishonim and Medayik, you see from the Gemara that you're supposed to ask him. The Gemara said you only rely on Rov when all else fails. But if you're able to ask, you're supposed to ask. So the Rashba holds that Sfek is a mamash like Rov. We mentioned this last week, that the reason why all Sfek is a mutter is because they're Rov of logical possibilities. We drew it out on the board last week. Not the board, but we made believe we drew it out. That there are four possibilities. So out of those four possibilities, three of them are mutter. So the case of the Sefer Akech. So maybe it's a boy, maybe it's a girl, maybe it's a viable child, maybe it's not a viable child. So there are four logical possibilities. Either viable male, that would be a problem. Viable female would be okay. Non-viable male would be okay, and non-viable female would be okay. So three out of four, that's three to one. So that's called a rov. So, but the Gemara says that when you have a rov, you should also try to be mevarer. So that's what we would say here also. That let's say a woman comes to us in a third, fourth month, and she wants to not have to go to a funeral. So I would say, go get a sonogram. Problem is, it's not so simple. So you can't go get a sonogram on the spot. She just got a phone call. It's the Leviathan an hour from now. Her grandmother's alive. She's got to go to the Leviathan right now. So she's not going to get a sonogram now. So then maybe in a chalem, then Taka would probably be mutter. Then we could rely on the Sefer Akech. So the Sefer Akech is not so great as Manazeh, because as the pregnancy continues, the women have already had the sonograms. They're not going for a sonogram. No one's going Bismanazir for a sonogram to find out whether it's a boy or a girl. They already had the sonogram. Insurance company, to the best of my knowledge, is not paying for Sefer Akech sonograms. So she already got her 15 sonograms. She knows exactly what she's carrying. So if she's an Ashes Cohen, let's say she's an Ashes Cohen, and she doesn't want to know what she's carrying. Some people don't want to know. It want to be a big surprise. They don't want to know whether it's a boy or a girl. So if you're an Ashes Cohen, that's not the most responsible thing, because if you're an Ashes Cohen, the information may be pertinent. If you're an Ashes Israel, you want to be surprised, because they'd be surprised. But if you're an Ashes Cohen, unless you're never planning on going to an Olam Ace, if you think you may go to a funeral in the next couple of months, it's hard to predict whether you're going to a funeral, so then it may be a good piece of information to know. So I don't know, maybe she wants to play a game, maybe she wants somebody else to know that information, she still wants to be surprised, so she wants somebody else to know the information. If and when she goes to a funeral in the next 5 months, she's going to have to find out. So I don't know, she's going to call a doctor in the middle of the night to find out what it was. So it gets a little bit tricky. So the bottom line is like this. Bottom line is that if she knows what she's carrying, she knows she's carrying a boy, so I would recommend that she's going not to go to a funeral. I think that there are some very serious shailas here. The Red Vaz is a chiddush. The other Meluim, the Chaim Oizer are against the Red Vaz. I wouldn't go run to tell the woman to go to the funeral if she knows what she's carrying. If she doesn't know what she's carrying, and it's not so simple, as most of the time, it's not so simple just to get a sonogram in an hour, so then I think that she could rely on the Sefer Kech and rely on all the Mekilim, that she at least has the little bit of a fake on her side, but see her for everything else. If she's able to get a sonogram right away, then she should try if she can. But notwithstanding what I'm telling you, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say this. Mishnah Berurah is Mekel on this. Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos, where he talks about the dinim of causing a child to be chote, so he quotes the Sefer Akech, and he quotes the Kula version. He quotes the Red Vaz's version. He doesn't even the Siachei. He's not going to quote Chaim Oizer. He was before Chaim Oizer. And he doesn't quote the Avim Elohim. He just quotes the Radvaz, who says that as long as it's not mamash at the end of pregnancy, it's mutter. So if a person just opens up Mishneh Berurah, so then the Shaila is Taka Mutter, and a woman in her 5th, 6th, 7th month, early pregnancy, so then she would be permitted to go to an Olam Eis, even if she knows exactly what she's having, it would be mutter based on Tara B'lua. So if you go straight with the Mishneh Berurah, with the Radvaz, with the very lenient version of the Sefer HaKeach, so then the Shaila wouldn't apply B'zman, and everything would be mutter B'zman as that also. But if you go with the Avim Elohim and the Chaim Oizer and the more Chomerdiker version of the Sefer HaKeach, this would throw a serious questions. I think it's a shaila with their eyes. It's not so simple, the shaila. So again, those rely on Mishneh Berurah. If half meter argument Mishneh Berurah, but I think there's a lot of halachic weight in the other direction also. Not so simple. Sometimes a woman calls me, a pregnant woman calls me, and she asks me, can she go to a cemetery? Can she go to a funeral? So 99% of the time, it's an Eishes Yisrael who's asking the question. It's because there's a minig, some have a minig that pregnant women don't go. So I said, those shalas I can't fasken. Those are not also. Some have a minig, don't have a minig. That's your own cheshbon. But I said, if you're an Eishes Kohen, then there's a very, very real shala. So Uri mentioned that there may be other tzadim l'hokal, other possible sniff l'hokal. So those who, the Binyan Tzion, raises the question, on a few levels. First of all, who says that the Isser to cause a child to be chote applies before the child's even born? So this whole thing is an extension of what we were talking about earlier. The Gemara says in Yevamos, if you have a baby kohen, you can't take the baby kohen for a shpatzik, for a walk in the basic verse. That's called lechel, lahachel biyadayim. I can't feed the baby kohen dreifus. Here, it's not even a baby, it's not even a person yet. It's not even, the neshama is not even in the neshama is up in Shemayim. It's just the psaguf. It's not even a human being yet. So maybe the whole concept of doing mitzvahs in utero, the whole thing doesn't get off the ground. There's no such concept of doing mitzvahs before a person is born. The whole concept of being mitami somebody, being machshel somebody in utero, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So maybe that would be one issue, another added aside. And then there's another question, is this baby actually a kohen? We know it's far as a kohen. Not so simple. The Gemara is a shaila that even though his father is biologically, he's genetically, has the genes of a kohen, but maybe kedushas kahuna is only chal upon birth. Maybe he's not yet miskadish to become a kohen until his birth. So the Gemara is a real shaila in Yevamos about this, whether uber meizor is zaru or not. If you have an uber, you have a fetus, and his mother is not a bas kohen, so she doesn't have any kedushas kahuna. So at what point does he get his Kedushas Kuna? So maybe his Kedushas Kuna calls mom, he's inside the mother's body. He takes on the status, almost like an Uber Yerchimo kind of a din. He takes on the halachic status of his mother. So Gemara is a strange split. The Gemara says, if his mother's a Bas Kohen, so then maybe he's already considered to be a Kohen in birth. Normally, the mother doesn't affect his status, but here, the mother may affect his status because he's still part of her. So if the Uber Mei Zara is a Zahru, that the mother's not a Bas Kohen, and even though the child is going to be a kohen in a few months from now, right now he's not a kohen. So that would be another tzalokal. Why was the Gemara talking about such a wild thing? Who cares in the days of the Gemara whether he's a kohen or not? So the Gemara is a shah is a nafkamina, wild shah in Yevamos, that if he happens to own an eved, and can the eved eat truma or not? So there's a machloikis, can Uber even own anything? That's a different question. So it could be that the father died, it could be that the Uber may own certain property, and he owns an eved kenani. So an eved kenani that belongs to a kohen eats truma, an eved kenani doesn't belong to a kohen doesn't eat truma. The kohen kikin and nefesh kin and kaspel. So the eved kenani, it's important to us who owns the eved kenani. So you can have a mudna situation. You have an eved kenani that's owned by an Uber, and the Uber may not be a kohen. It's a crazy story. Why is he not a kohen? Now his father's a kohen because he was not born yet. So the Binyan Tzion throws that into this mix, into this chult also, this discussion. So there are a lot of factors in all directions. I'd say again, those who are mekel, yesh tami lismach. Those who are machmer, yesh tami lachmer. There are grounds to be machmer, the shayla. There is a flip side of the shayla, more very sad shayla, but it also comes up, it's related to this. What would the din be? Let's say you have an eshet kohen, and she miscarries, but the baby hasn't come out yet. We know the doctor's already said the baby's inside, it's already dead, and it's going to come out in a couple of days. So now the question is, wait a second, can the husband be in the same oil as his wife? Is that a problem of tumas kohanim? Because the baby is tummy, a nafel is tummy, a fetus is tummy. So maybe that dead fetus is now emitting tumah into the olam eis. Is that a problem or not? So here also, tumah blua may help us. Because the Gemara says, just as there's a din of tara blua, there's a din of tumah blua. Let's say Back to the case of the dog. The dog swallows a ring that's tamei and goes into an oil. I'm in the same oil as that ring that's tamei. So that ring could theoretically emit tumah. It doesn't emit tumah because it's blua. So some would argue this is not blua. Maybe this is not considered to be tumah blua. Why should this not be tumah blua? So this goes back to all the things that we, all the three answers that we said before. According to the Radvaz, of course it's blua. When it comes out, it'll be a problem. A lot of people don't know this. That if a Ashes Cohen is having has a miscarriage and the taka taking the baby out, so then the husband can't be in the room because that's tumas kohen. Once the baby comes out, once the navel comes out, that's for sure tummy. And the kula being mitami for a child for a relative wouldn't apply. That only applies to a live. The person's dead already. It only applies to a viable, a real child. Levno, levito, leachim doesn't apply to a nefel. So that would not be true. The husband would not be able to be there. That would be real to Moscow.
The nefel was anything before 30 days?
If the baby died before 30 days, that's a chashash.
I actually know Shiloh. That's
a
chashash,
yeah.
It was 9th month, the day of delivery. Pre-delivery, baby died.
Baby died, and so if the husband's a Cohen.
If the husband, not, but it was a full delivery. It just happened.
So that's for
baby,
sure.
Baby just thought mamish.
That's mamish. So the baby is dead. I mean, no matter what, the baby's dead now.
Right. So is it because it's before 30 days?
No. The baby, it's dead for sure.
But it's a korov.
No. Right. No, it's still called. It's still a suffering navel until the baby. That's what you meant. It has to live 30 days to survive 30 days until we get clear.
So it doesn't matter. So it's not a question that it was.
Right.
It's the fact that pre. So even if it was
29 days, it would be also. Right. Oh, so unless things are different, if it's a full term, if you know for a fact it's a full term, okay. So you know what, I think we're time for chakras. So remind me next week, we left off, not a cheery place to leave off, but remind me we left off by the Tumas and the follow-up. Okay.